The scripture today is Numbers 13:25 and 14:10. They returned from exploring the land after 40 days. They went directly to Moses, Aaron, and the entire Israelite community in the barren desert at Kadesh. They brought back a report to them and to the entire community and showed them the land's fruit. Then they gave their report. "We entered the land to which you sent us. It's actually full of milk and honey, and this is its fruits. There are, however, powerful people who live in the land. These cities have huge fortifications, and we even saw the descendants of the Anakites there. The Amalekites live in the land of the arid southern plain. The Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the mountains, and the Canaanites live by the sea and along the Jordan." Now Caleb calmed the people before Moses and said, "We must go up and take possession of it, because we are more than able to do it." But the men who went up with him said, "We can't go up against the people, because they are stronger than we are." They started a rumor about the land that they had explored, telling the Israelites, "The land that we crossed over to explore is a land that devours its residents. All the people we saw in it are huge men. We saw there the Nephilim. The descendants of Anak come from the Nephilim. We saw ourselves as grasshoppers, and that's how we appeared to them." The entire community raised their voice, and the people wept that night. All the Israelites criticized Moses and Aaron. The entire community said to them, "If only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this desert. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our children will be taken by force. Wouldn't it be better for us to return to Egypt?" So they said to each other, "Let's pick a leader and let's go back to Egypt." Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the assembled Israelite community. But Joshua, Nun's son, and Caleb, Jephunneh's son, from those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite community, "The land we crossed through to explore in our exceptionally good land, if the land is pleased with us, he'll bring us into the land and give it to us. It's a land that's full of milk and honey. Only don't rebel against the Lord, and don't be afraid of the people of the land. They are our prey. Their defense has deserted them, but the Lord is with us. So don't be afraid of them." But the entire community intended to stone them. The Lord's anger and Moses' intercession. And then the Lord's glory appeared in the meeting tent to all of the Israelites. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
As we move into this fall season, we are looking for the next 3 weeks in sort of this transitional period at a series called Now What? Where do we go from here? We, back at the beginning of the summer, talked about unity, and we did a service of healing and wholeness, and we had annual conference, and we talked about our core values of who we are as United Methodists throughout this summer. And then last week, looking at seeing the miracles that God is doing in and through and around us. And so the question as we move into this next season is, in light of all of that that we have learned, now what? Where do we go from here? And so these questions that we raise now are questions that have been asked probably by every generation throughout history, and have been asked especially in these past several years. Questions like, when do we get back to normal? How do we get people back in church? How do we do more with less? Anybody ever asked those questions? Heard those questions? We're going to wrestle with those the next several weeks, starting today with this idea of getting back to normal. That's exactly what the Israelites wanted. Now, for them, as Nicholas said, normal was in slavery, but normal also meant knowing exactly what their schedule was each day, knowing exactly where their meals were coming from, having a very solid routine, even if it was painful. And so we have to ask ourselves about this idea of getting back to normal. That question has become more prominent, I think, since the pandemic. We've been about at least a year or so, if not a little bit more, past the worst of the pandemic. So you would think we're kind of getting settled in, right? We're back to church. We're back to things the way they were. But how many of you, when you look around at your lives and your families and the community and the world, think, yep, it's just like it was in 2019. It's as if nothing ever happened. Are we back to normal? Not even close. And that raises a really interesting question. What is normal? What is this normal that we're trying to get back to? For some, it's just simply the days where, you know, everything was sort of comfortable. For some, it's all the way back to the time when everybody came to church. We'll talk about that more next week. Normal is different for every single person and every single family. And if you don't believe me, just think about this. Think about the last time that you went to stay over someone else's house. Maybe a family member at Christmas or Thanksgiving, or maybe a family member came to you. Your kids and grandkids came and stayed at your house. And think about how different the routines were just between you and your kids and your grandkids, and how awkward it is sharing that space in a home. Now, these may be people that grew up in your home, especially if they're your kids and grandkids coming back for the holidays, or that you're going to their house and you think, well, yeah, this is my family. Of course, we all know what normal is. But they have different routines. They have different lifestyle. They have different favorite meals. They have different times of when they get up and different rules. All of a sudden, we don't know what normal is even in our own family, because we all build our unique routines. We do the same thing if we travel to another culture. We can do two kinds of traveling. We can either travel and we can go and look at everything and say, wow, these people are nuts. What are they doing? Why are they doing things this way? Or we can honestly evaluate ourselves and say, wow, they just have a different way of doing things, and I want to learn from this. And I want to experience this new difference. Not because mine is wrong or theirs is right, or mine is right and theirs is wrong, but simply because I want to learn and grow from the diversity of experiences of what is normal to different people. And so we do that all the time. Everywhere you go, you find that everybody's normal is different. We have normal differences in generations across the board. There's three particular areas where normal has changed significantly. One is in the area of the balance between work and our everyday lives. In the old days, in the good old days, in the normal days, work was everything. We lived to work. And the expectation put on my generation and as we were growing up was, you just keep working harder and harder and harder and nothing else matters. To the point where we all get burned out. And I find it particularly interesting that one of the people, one of the leaders in that generation who said work was everything, Bill Gates, probably somebody you all recognize as a founder in the technology industry, he says this to a group of young adults and college students. He says, when I was your age, I didn't believe in vacations. I didn't believe in weekends. I pushed everyone around me to work long hours. In the early days of Microsoft, my office overlooked the parking lot, and I kept track of who left early and who stayed late. Looking at it now, I encourage you to learn from my mistakes. Take a break when you need to, and take it easy on the people around you when they need it to. That's quite a shift. That's quite a new normal for Bill Gates, who at one point would have said normal is you better be here early and you better stay late or you're not going to make it in this job or in this world. The pandemic escalated that change in normalcy when people realized that they were losing so much time from their families just to be able to work two and three jobs to pay for child care so that they could send their child off to be cared for by somebody else instead of being able to be with them. And so there's a shift in the market because there's a new normal, a normal where people are prioritizing families and life. There's a new normal in technology. How many of you grew up with Facebook? that I'm even saying Facebook is already outdated. Because I'm not up with all the other stuff, Snapchat, TikTok, whatever else is out there. I can't even keep up with it anymore. It's a new normal. Imagine entire generations that that's all they've ever known, their whole life on display publicly for the world to see. Now, how many of you would have wanted all your parents and all your friends and all your parents' friends and all your church people and all your coworkers to see every stupid little thing you did when you were a kid? But that's what our kids have to deal with. It's a different kind of moment. It's a different reality. Diversity is another area where things have changed dramatically. In America, 75% of the baby boomer population is white. 52% of those 18 and under are white. That's a pretty big difference. Diversity is the new norm. People who are younger are just accepted as they're going to have people of all different races in their classes and in their play groups and at their gyms and wherever they go, and they don't think anything of it. And yet, for those who grew up in previous times, that seems unusual. The point is simply to say that there is no such thing as normal. There is only whatever we found comfortable in a particular season that we hold on to and say, this is how I want it to be forever. But it never will be, because it always changes. Normal is always changing. The reality is always changing around us. And our choice is either to go with it or to fight against it. And I can tell you that fighting against it leads to a miserable and lonely existence. That's where we find our friends in Israel. A difficult place, ready to go home. They were lost in the wilderness, not sure when they were going to get to this land that God had promised them. And then when they do get to the land, Moses and Aaron sends them out and says, go ahead and send a few people and spy ahead and see what we're up against. See what this new land looks like. And they come back with a report. And the report is pretty good. This is a great land. This new future that God has given us, this is awesome. There's wonderful food and fruitfulness and good fertile land and places to live. It's flowing with milk and honey. This will be a great place. And if they just left it at that, all would have been well. And notice that Moses and Aaron don't ask the people to come back and tell them their opinion. They ask for people to come back and tell them their report. Report to us what you see in the land. When they reported what they saw, all was well. We see a great land that God has promised us. But then they get into our opinion. And our opinion is, that's all fine and good, but we're never going to get to enjoy any of it because those people over there are giants and they're all going to kill us. And so it doesn't matter how good the promise is. It's too scary. It's too frightening. It's too uncertain. We will not survive. And so let's go back to Egypt. Let's go back to normal. Can you imagine the state of fear and anxiety you've got to be in to think, you know what, I'd rather be enslaved than to take this risk. I'd rather be forced to make bricks with straw that I have to gather myself and watch my loved ones dying at a young age and starving to death than take the risk of whatever God has for us in this new land. The journey to live into God's promise was going to be difficult. There will be challenges in the new land. There always will be. There'll be things that we have to adapt to. Some things we don't really adapt to, and we just let it go on and change without us. Other things we have to change with. But the reality is, nobody said that going forward was easy. But going back isn't all it's cracked up to be either. What we are called to do as Christians is to go forward and shape the future. Learning from what God has done for us in the past. Learning how God has walked with us through all the times and trials that we have faced. And being able to look forward and say, you know what, the same God who got me out of Egypt is the same God who is going to provide for me when we get to that new land and make sure that I'm able to face those difficulties and uncertainties. Jesus prayed an interesting prayer for his disciples and for all of us in John 17. It's a prayer that, if we're really honest, we probably don't like that much. Jesus said to the Father, I'm not asking that you take them out of this world, but I'm asking that you keep them safe from the evil one. Jesus, couldn't you just pray for us to get out of this world? We're done with this mess. We don't like it anymore. It's changing too much around us. We can't keep up. Let's just all get raptured out of here, as it were, as many people say. We all want to get to heaven, but we don't like living in the face of the evil and the darkness of this world. But Jesus said, you know what? I don't pray to take them out. I know that they are needed in this world. I know that their light and their love is crucial to saving the whole world. And so, Father, I pray that they will just be protected. I pray that they won't give in to temptation. I pray that they won't fall into the systems of slavery and evil and oppression and greed and pride and power. I pray that their egos would stay in check. I pray that they would remain one with us, he said, as I am one in you and you are one with me. I pray that they would be one with us and one with one another. And so Jesus didn't give us a real clear picture of what that new normal would be like. For them, it was another situation very much like the Israelites. They're moving out of a familiar place where they've walked with Jesus for 3 years, and now into a place where he's going to be gone. And they're going to have to figure it out on their own. That's a scary place. You can understand why some of the disciples said, Jesus, just let me die with you. Because it's easier than having to face the future alone. But the truth is that Jesus called them and calls us to go forth into that uncertainty and into that unknown with a spirit of unity and a spirit of oneness and a spirit of working towards the redemption of the whole world. And that vision that Jesus gave us is not dependent on our circumstances. It's not, I pray that they would be in the world and that they would be one with us and one with one another so long as everything goes their way. So long as their churches are full, so long as they have enough money, so long as they have good jobs, so long as they have great schools for their kids, so long as everybody is doing everything that makes them comfortable. There's no conditions on this. It's simply a call to remain in unity with each other and with God, to continue to share that love that Jesus shared with us. And so I want us to think about that question. Those times we've asked, when am I going to get back to normal? When is life going to get back to normal? Truth be told, even without the pandemic, we ask that all the time. We go through seasons that are hectic in life, busy in life. Just think about when your kids grew up, and then when your grandkids were born, and then as they grew up, and every season is different. Everything is changing. Normal is always different. Normal is different in third grade, and fourth grade, and seventh grade, and eighth grade. It's always different. We've always lived that way. We've always felt this nudge to get back to what was familiar. But I want you to ask yourself, where have those places in your past called out to you like a long-lost friend? What are those places, what are those moments that are calling out to you? If you think, if only I could get back to the time when it was like this, what is this? How do you define this? It'd be real interesting if y'all went out to lunch and talk to each other and start asking that question. I bet you'd go around the table and you'd find that this, whatever this is that you want to get back to, there may be some similarities, but there's probably some things that you're like, really? That's what you want? Because we all have a different opinion of what was comfortable. So where are those places that are calling out to you like that friend? Where are those places that made you feel comfortable, that you long to go back to? The song we're going to do in just a minute, called Painting Pictures of Egypt from Sarah Groves. And she says this in her chorus, the place I was wasn't perfect, but I had found a way to live. It wasn't milk or honey, but then neither is this. And so I'm painting pictures of Egypt, leaving out what it lacks. See, that's the problem with normal. Whatever we think was normal, whatever we think was great, whatever we think was the good old days, we always leave out the parts that weren't so good. Parts that weren't good for us, certainly the parts that weren't good for other people that we didn't even realize. We always remember the past better than it was, and we always think of the future much worse than it will be. Perhaps that's why we're called to be present in this moment. Perhaps that's why the psalmist writes that the word is a lamp unto my feet, and not the thing that shines all of the light on our entire future so we know exactly where we're going down the road. Because all we can handle is this moment. And so what are those imperfections of our past that we've done? What are those things, if we're really honest, that we say, you know, yeah, I'd love to go back to that time, but I don't want that again. I don't want life to be like that again. I don't want people to be harmed that way again. I don't want to go through that again. If we're really honest, if we evaluate the past in truth, both the positive and the negative. And then she goes on in the song and says, the places that used to fit me cannot hold the things I've learned. Those rows were closed off to me while my back was turned. And so I want you to think about for a minute, what are those places that you think, man, I want to go back to, but you know, maybe you've tried to go back. Maybe you go back to visit a place where you used to live, a town where you used to live, and you drive through the roads and you look around and you're like, this doesn't look anything like what I remember. Or an old school. And wow, that is not the way it was when I was here. What are those places that we just can't fit anymore? That we imagine as so wonderful, that we hold ourselves back, that we prevent ourselves from going forward because we think if only it was like this. But the truth is, we can never really be comfortable if it was really like that again. It doesn't fit who we have become. It doesn't fit the things we've learned since then. We've changed. We've become new people. You know, one of the things that people say in divorce so often is, oh, she or he is just not the person I married anymore. Well, duh. Neither are you. None of us are. If we were, we'd all be in trouble. How many of you want to be exactly like you were when you first got married? Nobody. We all say we hated change earlier, right? And yet we admit that all of us are different people than we were when we got married. We've changed. We don't want to go back to those things. We don't want to make those same mistakes. We don't want to live some of those painful moments over again. We understand this. We understand that we've grown. We understand we're in a new place. And we have to take all that we have learned and continue forward to build a better future for our families, for our church, for our community, for our world. Because God's promises continue on. And they continue pushing us on into new places. And they continue to provide for us through all the difficulty. If only we'll lay all of our opinions and all of our nostalgia aside and simply say, yes, what God has offered is good. And the God who has given it to us is good. And we trust this God who has walked us through all of these changes, all of these new normals throughout our whole life, continue to walk with us each step of the way into whatever may come. And so I invite us to continue to reflect on those questions, how our past holds on to us, and where God may be inviting us from here into new normals, into an idea that is beyond normal, where we don't seek our comfort, but we're open to whatever possibilities may arise.
For the most are the places where I've been. They're calling out to me like a long lost friend. It's not about losing faith. It's not about trust. It's all about comfortable when you move so much. The place I wasn't perfect, but I had found a way to live, and it wasn't milk or honey, but neither is this. I've been painting pictures of Egypt, leaving out what it lacks, the future feels so hard and I want to go back. But the places that used to fit me cannot hold the things I've learned. Those roads were closed off to me while my back was turned. As it's so tangible, I know it by heart. Familiar things are never easy to discard. I was dying for some freedom, now I hesitate to go. I'm caught between the promise and the things I know. I've been painting pictures of Egypt, peeping out what it lacks. The future feels so hard and I want to go back. But the places that used to fit me, they cannot hold the things I've learned. Those roads were closed off to me while my back was turned. If it comes too quick, I may not appreciate it. Is that the reason behind all this time and sand? If it comes too quick, I may not recognize it. Is that the reason behind all this time and sand? Oh, I've been painting pictures of Egypt, leaving out what it lacks. Future feels so hard and I want to go back. I've been painting pictures of Egypt, I've been leaving out what it lacks. Future feels so hard and I want to go back. But the places that used to fit me cannot hold the things I've learned. Those roads were closed off to me.
Isaiah 43, the prophet writes, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing, and now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." And so let us pray. Oh Lord, in whatever wilderness spaces we find ourselves, personally, collectively, in our families, in our communities, among our friends, in our churches, Lord, you are doing a new thing. Water is springing up from the deserts, even when we do not see it. You have already provided for all that is ahead, just as you have provided for all the things that have gotten us to where we are. And so, Lord, help us to let go of these ideas of normal. Help us to let go of the comfortable. Help us to be set free, not only from the slavery of the physical pains and troubles of our past, but the slavery of feeling like we need to get back to it. Free us to move openly into wherever your Spirit is leading. Free us to love unconditionally, without fear. Free us to let go so that we're not consumed by trying to protect and and secure everything that we have from loss. Free us to live into truly who you have gifted us to be, that we may give ourselves freely for the sake of others, as Christ taught us, that we may be one with you and one with each other in everything we do, in every step we take, in every opportunity that arises, that we may be fully obedient to what you have for us and enjoy your faithfulness and your promises for all eternity. In Jesus' precious name.